Morning, everybody. Maxina Taiva. Okay, we will start again. So we're learning Gemara Pesachim this year, and we got to Dav Zayin. The sugi begins the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph, continues through Zayin Amud Beis, and on Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Kalam mitzvahs kulam mavach alayim ma'avol ha'siyasam. It's a tosefta in the last perik in Brachas. On the side and the margin, they give you a lot of marmakimis, but they didn't write that one. That it's a tosefta in Brachas. So this is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Oros HaRuah. What's the din b'dieved if a person, instead of saying the bracha over l'asiyosam, says the bracha l'achar asiyosam? Let's say the Rambam's opinion is that bichas erisin is a bichas hamitzvah. The Rosh in the beginning, in the first perek in Ksubis, representing the sheet of the Bali HaTosfos here, the last line in Tosfos on Zayin Amud Aleph, the Rosh quotes the Shitas HaTosfos that Bichas Erisin is not a Bichas HaMitzvah, it's a Bichas HaShevach, basically, even though we start off HaShe Kedishana B'mitzvah Yisov, B'tzivanu, but you don't say, you don't end off L'Kadesh HaSoisha, you say B'tzivanu Al HaArayas, V'asolana HaSarusas, V'hitolana HaSarusas Lanu, a long story. So the Rosh says, you never say a bichas hamitzvah when you're about to avoid violation of an avera. He's saying he's marrying a girl who's not from the arayas, and it's also to live with the girl during eris, and it's only mutter during the suin. Why don't you just say, so the Rosh seems to be representing the Bali HaTosfos that there is no mitzvah to get married. There is an institution of marriage, kedushin achal. But the Rambam holds that there are two distinct mitzvahs. The Rambam starts off Hilchos Ishus that there are two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Pirei V'Rivya, Pruravu. Another mitzvah is Lisa Isha B'Ksuba V'Kiddushin. But according to the Rosh, there's a mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya. Lisa Isha is not a mitzvah, so there is no Bichas HaMitzvah. It's a Bichas HaShevach. Okay. You start off HaShek Rishana B'Mitzvah Sevetzivana, so maybe we'll call it a Bichas HaMitzvah, but it's a different kind of a bit. It's really a Bichas HaShevach. So Bichas Shevach v'Hodor is always recited l'achar asiyasma. So that's why Tosfos writes on Amud Aleph the Teda, the last two lines in Tosfos Shari Bichas Erisin Einu Mevarach Ela Achar Erisin. That is not our practice. We say the Bichas Erisin before Erisin because of the Rambam Shita. The Rambam holds that if you Mekadosh Anisha and you didn't say the Bracha in advance, Mashenase Kvarnase Farfalon, so you lost your opportunity to say the bracha. You cannot say a bracha l'achar asiyasam. It'll be a bracha l'batola. If a person put on talis and tefillin and he forgot to say a bracha before, or he puts on the talis and tefillin, he wakes up so early, puts on talis and tefillin before Mishiachris Chadir Berich Lugdal Aramis. Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sfarim in the Tshuvas Igaris Moshe that he tested it out quite a few times. He thinks that in the New York area, Mashiach, it's different parts of the world. It's different amount of time before sunrise. So he writes, he thinks that in the New York area, Mashiach is Chader, Berich HaGdal HaRamis, is something like 35, 40 minutes before sunrise. So let's say a person woke up early and he goes to Shul, he puts on Talis and Tefillin 45 minutes or an hour before. So then according to Moshe, he can't say the Bracha on Talis and Tefillin. But the fact that later on, after Yishtabach, and you didn't start Baruch Hu yet, so you're still wearing the Talis and Tefillin, so that's Oivel Asiyosam of the fact that you continue to wear the Talis and Tefillin later. But the question will be, let's say he put on the Talis and Tefillin so early before Mishiachir, so you don't say a Bracha. Then he forgot to say the Bracha after Yishtabach. And then he has to run to work, so he took off the Talis and Tefillin. And after he takes it off, he puts it all away. Then he realizes, hey, he forgot. He never said the bracha. So if he's going to wait a few hours later, then he's going to say a bracha l'achar asiyosam an hour later. So that's, of course, it doesn't relate. The bracha that he says later doesn't relate to the mitzvah that he did an hour ago. But if he just took off the talis and tefillin this moment, and he's no longer wearing it, so then it would be a shaila, then it would be a machlokes harishonim. Can he say the bracha l'achar asiyosam? So the Rambam says, Masha nasa kvar nasa, farfan, you lost your chance, you cannot say a bracha even b'dieved, a bichas hamitzvah l'achar asiyosam. And the Oros HaRuah brought the raya from the last Mishnah in Pesachim that you can say the bracha. So in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridev, Simon Yutes, there's a long shach where he quotes this machlekes, the Rabbam and the Or Zoruah. The Ramah there is discussing the following case. Let's say a person is about to shecht one behemah, only one behemah. And that one behemah, we know in advance, before we shecht it, that it's a suffix trefa. Why? Rob behemah is kshayrishain. How do you ever say a bracha whenever you shecht any animal? It may turn out to be a trefa. So we assume rob behemah is kshayrishain. In the slaughterhouse, there's never a shayla because they shecht chickens. They shecht 60 chickens a minute. Every second, they give them another chicken to shecht. So even if one or two or 10 are going to be trefas, even if some of them will make an nevela accidentally, but there are going to be others that are going to be kosher. There won't be nevela. There won't be trefa. And when you shecht behemoths also, it's not 60 a minute. It takes longer, but they're going to shecht a lot of behemoths, one after the other, after the other. So one of them will probably be kosher. Well, let's say you only have one behemoth to shecht, and that one behemoth we know in advance, it's you can't really say rob behemah k'sheris. That behemah, something happened to the animal that we know in advance it's a suffix trefa. What's that? A nefula. And if an animal that fell down a flight of stairs, so there's a concern that maybe it broke a couple of ribs, and maybe the jagged edge of the rib was poking into the lobes of the lung in such a way that it made a neck of a nereya. And the kuvas areya is a trefa. So the Ramah says, if you're shechting an afula, then the din requires, meikra din, you have to be bodik the reya afterwards to make sure that it's not a trefa. Normally, with bodik the reya, it's only a chumra midrabbanan. Those who learned chulin last year will remember there was a Ramban, both in the Chidusha HaRamban and in the Mohammeds on the bottom of the Rif, where the Ramban writes the same thing, practically word for word identical. That min haTorah you go basarayv and mid the rabbanon ilahakel there's a rayv lahakel so you go basarayv and you don't have to be boidik and mid the rabbanon if you have a miu tamatzui so then you mukhiv to be boidik mid the rabbanon. So let's say I buy a suit and there's a miu tamatzui. Miu tamatzui is a certain percentage of likelihood that it's going to be usher. So let's say I'm going to eat vegetables and then there's a certain I'm going to eat a certain amount of vegetables. And there's a certain percentage likelihood that there'll be a bug, I'll be swallowing a bug. So if it's miyotamatz is a question, what is the percentage that you're talking about? So the Mishkan HaSeankev has a tshuva, the Darkei Tshuva, by the Munkacher. On Yeridei, it quotes the Mishkan HaSeankev. That's unusual, because the Darkei Tshuva was a Hungarian, the Munkacher. And the Mishkan HaSeankev was a Litvisher, he was anti-Hasidish. He learned in Volozhin, Barab Chaim Volozhin, and by the first group of the early group of Talmidim, he learned in Volozhin Yeshiva. So it's unusual that the Darkei Tshuva should quote the Mishkan HaSeankev, but he quotes the Mishkan HaSeankev that the Miotam Motz is 10% or above. And Rabbi Al-Yashiv disagreed with that, and he thought that it's 7% or above. Why? Because the example that the Ramban gives based on the Medrash is the other Marishan was created on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis, it was Erev Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him six of the seven mitzvahs ben Erech. He didn't give him the din of Eif Menachah yet, because the Adam Arish until the days of Nech, all the human beings had to be vegetarians. They weren't permitted to eat basar at all. So after the Mabul, then they were allowed to eat basar. So then the seventh of the seven mitzvahs ben Erech was given, namely the prohibition of Eid Menachai. So the six out of the seven were given the day Adam Arishon was brought into the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him also Hayru Ashoah. That's how the Ramban understands this Medrash. The Hayru Ashoah was he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas until Friday night. So if Adam Arishon would have waited till Friday night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have permitted him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't have self-control even to wait a couple of hours. He was created on Erev Shabbos of the Sheshes Mei Bereshis, Friday, the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. And he violated the Hayru Ashoah that was only going to be that day, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, till Leil Shabbos. He violated that din the first day that He didn't have patience. So the Medrash has the expression, "Mi yigala ofa me'enecha Adam Arishon." We ought to dig out Adam Arishon from the Moris HaMachpelah where he's buried and take the dust out from his eyes, and he'll see the Jewish people have self-control. We have patience. If a person shechts a behema, he doesn't eat the flesh right away. He waits till he checks to make sure that there's no sirchas on the lung. And if a Jewish person plants a tree, he doesn't eat the fruits that grow the first 3 years until Arloya is over. A lot of times, hardly anything will grow. But even if something grows, he won't eat it because of Arlo. And if a woman can't be with her husband, so they'll wait, and they'll have self-control, and they'll wait till she'll go to the mikveh a week or two later, a while later. So Adam Arishon didn't have the patience. He didn't have the self-control. So that's the expression, Mi galof me'enecha, Adam Arishon, look at the Jewish people. So the Rambam points out, why did the Medrash say that they're checking the sirchas on the lungs? There are 70 different trefas, 70 shivim trefas. So why only mention the sirchas on the lungs? So the Ramban explains, because all the others, you know, mechuyev to be boidek for, because it's a mere chain of matzah. But sirchas on the lungs is a mere tamatzah. So what percentage are we talking about? So Asolvechik said that when he used to give the hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston, they used to have, they keep records for many years of how many animals the sheikh had made accidentally into Nevela. If he's making too many Nevelas, then they're going to fire the sheikh to get a different sheikh. And then they check how many animals were trefas, so they'll know where not to buy animals. If you buy from a certain ranch, there's a higher percentage of trefas, so you're going to lose money. So don't buy from that ranch, buy from a different state in the United States. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that he used to be a big mako on Hilchus trefas. He used to use all the kulas on the books, plus his lashon was, the Balatanya has also a kula of B'dika Sareya. With all the kulas, he used to get 14% traces. So he said that corresponded with what the Mishkanes Yankiv said, that 10% and above is considered the Mi'at HaMotzi. Rabbi Yashiv, on the other hand, said that the Medrash was, that the Ramban is quoting, Mi'igalof HaMe'enech Adam Arishon, was probably written in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't written in America, probably written in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael for many years, not centuries, for many years, they were keeping records in recent years, and the percentage of sirchas on the lungs is only 7%. So he thought that we should really be machma. Anything that it's a 7% and above should be considered a mi'at hamotzi. We mentioned that Rav Neuwirth, Zichron Livracha, from the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchosa, told me that he used to travel to Argentina for the Rabbanut to check the shechita on the meat. They used to import meat from Argentina. There was a period of time that they imported meat from America to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if they still do now, but so the Rabbanut used to send representatives to Argentina, to America, to supervise the shechita, to make sure that it's to their satisfaction. So Rabbi Neuwirth said when he used to go to Argentina, the percentage of sirchas on the lungs was only 5%. So he says he doesn't think the Medrash Rabbah was written in Argentina, and he doesn't think we have to be machmet to say that 5% and above is already a mi'at hamotzi, just because in Argentina it's 5%, only 5%. Apparently the air is purer there, so the animals develop a smaller percentage of traces. Okay. So this din of mi'at hamotzi, you have to be boidik midirabbanan. That's what the Rabban says. When you have mi'at hamotzi, you have to be choshish midirabbanan, and you have to be boidik. That's a din midirabbanan. So it applies to trefas. That's why you only have to be boidik for sirchas on the rei. It applies to clothing. If it's a mi'at hamotzi that is going to have shatnas in it, then midirabbanan, you have to be boidik. Even though the rove, the overwhelming majority is that there are no shatnas. But it's a mi'at hamotzi you have to check. And it applies also to bugs. If you're eating vegetables, when I was growing up, there was no issue with bugs in vegetables because all of the farmers used to spray DDT on all of the plants in America. But then the government didn't allow it because they realized that the spray is causing cancer. So they prohibited it. So then Moshe Feinstein says, wow, now that the government prohibits it, so now we got a problem. All of the bugs are infested with, a lot of the vegetables are infested with bugs. So if it's a bug that's not visible to the naked eye, the Torah never prohibited that. But a lot of the bugs are visible to the naked eye. So if it's a miyut hamotzi, if it's either 7% or above, a 10% likelihood, it depends how much you're going to eat, how much of the vegetable do you plan to eat. So the bigger the portion you plan to eat, so the more likely it'll be that you will be eating a bug. So if there's either 10% or above, or 7% and above, then it's called the miyut hamotzi, and then you have to be biting. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says, if an animal fell down a flight of stairs, and a fula, we have to be concerned. Maybe it broke a rib, and maybe the broken rib has a jagged edge that's pushing right into the lobes, one of the lobes of the lung, and there may be a nekev in the reya. So nekev in the reya makes the animal into a trefer. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that normally the sheikh says the bracha ala shechita before he shechts. But if the animal is in a eye, it may be that it's going to be a trefer. So you got no choice. They say rob behemis ksheris. But if it's in a fula, there was a latest asafik that's called a reis. A reis means a latest asafik in advance. It fell down a flight of stairs. And we have reason to suspect specifically on this animal, not stam, in general, that the 14% of all the animals that we shecht in America turn out to have sirchas on the lungs. Or 7% of all the animals in Eretz have sirchas on the lungs. No, this animal fell down a flight of stairs, so there's reason to suspect that maybe it developed a hole in the lung with the broken rib sticking into the lobe of the lung. So then you should not say bracha in advance, because you can't say rob behemis ksheiris, because there's a latest asafik here. So the Rama says you should not say bracha in advance. You should wait till after you shecht, check the lungs, and if you see that there are no holes in the lungs, then you say the bracha afterwards. So the Shach quotes this machloikas, the Rambam and the Urza Rua, whether b'dieved one can say bracha l'acharas yasim. So according to the Urza Rua, there's no problem. Whenever, let's say, even if there's no latest asafik in advance, if the sheikh had forgot to say the bracha in advance, a person already took off his talis and tefillin, and he realizes that the second after he takes over the talis, I forgot he never said a bracha in the first place, because he put on the talis and tefillin before Mashiach Rishchaveirai, B'richik Dal HaRamas, and then he took off the talis and he never said the bracha. So then, according to the Yosef, we can say the bracha now. So according to the Rambam, who holds that whenever you didn't say the bracha over lasiyasa mashenase kvar nase farfan, he can say the bracha later. Would the Rambam say the same over here? So the Gemara has on Zayin Amud Beis chutz min atfila. That's what it says. Kol amitzvus kula mevarach aleihem over lasiyasam amar Rav Chisda chutz min atfila. Why chutz min atfila? So the Gemara says because akati gavra lochazi. What do you mean akati gavra lochazi? So it's a machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. So Tesis quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. Chutz min atfila means tfilas hager. A non-Jew who converts first has to lechatchila should go in order. First you do the milah and then you do the tfila and the mikvah. You have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs in advance before you start doing everything. The non-Jew has to express his commitment to observe all the mitzvahs that come his way. And then the Maaseh Hageiros, that's the Kabbalas Hageiros, Kabbalas on mitzvahs in the presence of a Besen of three, Kosher Adayanim. And then you have to have the Mila, and then you have to have the Tefillah. L'chatchili, do it in that order, first Mila and then Tefillah. If you do did it in the wrong order, first you did the Tefillah and then the Mila. So it's a big machlekes, Harishonim and Yevamos, whether the geiris is good b'dieved, or you have to repeat the tefillah in the mikveh. So one should be careful. There was once a student in the yeshiva who converted three times. He converted by a reform rabbi. He was in Hawaii, I think. So first he decided to convert by reform. And then after a while, he realized that reform is not authentic Judaism, so he converted by an Orthodox Bezin in Honolulu. And then when he was a student in yeshiva, he was going to get married, and his Rebbe in IBC, or JSS, I think, the Rebbe in JSS was going to perform their marriage. So he wanted to make sure that the conversion was valid. So he asked them, tell me exactly, what did they do, the Beis Din in Honolulu? What exactly did they do? So he says, well, first they had him go to be tovel in the ocean. And then afterwards they did the Bris Milah, because when he converted by the Reform, he never had a Bris Milah at all. So the Rebbe said, that's a big machloikas, whether it's good b'di edit. So you have to be tovel in the mikveh again, b'li bracha. That's the psalm. Shachan Yeridei, Hilchas Geiris, Paschans Lahalacha, like that. That it's a Sveiket Adina of the Rishonim, machloikas of Rishonim, a Sveiket Adina. How we paschan? What if you did the tefillah in the mikveh before the milah? Do you say b'di edit the Geiris is chal? Oh no, you have to repeat the tefillah. So he repeated the tefillah. He was Megai the third time in New York. First Megai by the Reform in Honolulu, then he was Megai by Orthodox in Honolulu, then he was Megai by the Rebbe in the Yeshiva by going to the mikveh without a brach. And then he got married the week after. Okay? So a non-Jew is not obligated to be Megai. But if a non-Jew is Megayer, then I say that he has fulfilled a mitzvah. He wasn't Mechuyev. No one is obligated. A non-Jew is not obligated to be Megayer. But if he is Megayer and he underwent the Geirus, the mitzvah of Geirus, he did the Milah, then he did the Tefillah, so then he says a bracha shekadishana b'mitzvah so v'tzivano ala Tefillah. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says, in Pshat and Nigmar, akati gavel achozi, why doesn't he say the bracha over asiyasim? Because in the nusach of the brachas hamitzvah, you always say shekedushana b'mitzvah saw v'tzivano. So akate gabel achazi, he's not Jewish before he's tovel in the mikveh. Even though he already had the kabbalas on mitzvahs and he already had the milah, but calls many doesn't have a tefillah. So he's a goy gomer. They're different opinions, and that's how he paskin that the milah and the tefillah are both mi'akev. So Kolzman, he wasn't tovel in the mikveh. He's not Jewish. So he can't say the bracha. Ashekadashana b'mitzvah sovit zivon. So he has to wait till after he's tovel in the mikveh. Then he says the bracha lacharasi osim. So that's the Loshan HaGemara. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that's quoted by the Tesis, and Dav Zayin on the base, Allah Tefillah, Amar Rabbein Hananim, Shem HaGoyen, name of the Goyenim, that's only talking about Tefillah Sager. He can't say Kiddushan of Mitzvah Sivan. But by any other person is Tovel in the Mikveh, they should really always say the Bracha before. Let's say a woman is married and she's going to Mikveh to be Materis Labailo. So more correct, Tesis says, more correct is she should say the Bracha in advance. Rashi doesn't learn like Rabbein Hananel. Rashi learns Chutz Min HaTfilah is talking about a Balkeri, that Ezra made 10 takonis. The Gemara in the end of Perek in Bava Kamma, at the end of Perek Meruba, lists off all the Eser takonis of Ezra. So one of the takonis was that a Balkeri has to go to Mikvah, a man who's a Balkeri, or a woman who's Poleta Shichma Zera. So they're not permitted to learn Torah, not permitted to daven until they go to Mikvah. And a later generation, Tosfos quotes this Tosfos on Zayin and Beis. Tosfos quotes the Gemara and Brachas Daf Chav Beis and Aleph. The Rabbi Yudah ben Bisera abolished. He did away with the Takana Ezra with respect to learning Torah, based on the pasuk Halakol Dvarika Eish Niyum Hashem Ma Eish Eini Mekabel Tuma Afti Veter Ein Mekabel Tuma. So Rabbi Yudah ben Bisera. The Gemara's expression is no galma, the meaning ha'olam by the Orthodox Jews is ka'anit las sovi. Old Tanoim from earlier generation. There were quite a few generations of Tanoim. The period of Tanoim went for a long time. So the tlas sovi, the three older Tanoim, means from the earlier generations. So one of them was Rabbi Yudah ben Bisera, that he says that Takanas Ezra, he did away with Takanas Ezra. He permitted to learn Torah even if the Balkari or the woman who's Polet to Shechva Zera didn't go to Mikvah. Then there's a big machlokes of Rishonim. What about the other half of Takanas Ezra? Ezra's Takana was not only that a Balkari and a woman is Polet to Shechva Zera are not allowed to learn Torah. He also made a Takana not allowed to daven, not allowed to say a bracha. So should we assume Halakol Dvar Koesh Niyom Hashem Ayesh Eni Mekabel Tumah Divrei Torah Eni Mekabel Tumah is only on Divrei Torah? What about davening? So the Rambam writes explicitly in Hilchos Tfila that once the Takanas Ezra was nizbatel with respect to learning Torah, so it fell apart with respect to davening as well. The Rambam himself writes though in the Mishnah Torah that in heaven they can testify on him that he is always careful. He always goes to the mikveh before he davens if he's a Balkari. But Mikra then it's not necessary. So there's a famous case of Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in his commentary on the Rambam, but if the Rambam holds that the Takanas Ezra fell apart completely once Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was mevatle with respect to learning Torah, so it fell apart even with respect to davening as well. So why was the Rambam machmer on himself? So the Kesef Mishnah answers, whenever the Chachamim made a Takana that made sense, it was based on a good idea. Even in a later generation, it falls apart because in Rabatzi b'chalim lamed by. But still, since initially they made such a takanas, it would be recommended that one should observe, as a Midas Chassidus, one should observe that takan. That's why the Rambam himself writes that he personally did always went to mikveh all year long. We only have the practice of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Misnagdim hold like the Rambam, and we don't do the Midas Chassidus of the Rambam to go to mikveh every day, whenever one is a Balkari. But for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're machmer, like we're machmer also not to eat paspalter and aseres meitshuva. We're machmer not to do any hatmona on Erev Yom Kippur to eat something on Metzor Yom Kippur. So we try to introduce a little bit more chumras in our religious observance in aseres meitshuva. So that's why we're choshish for the shita. Who is the Shita? Who is the Shita? So the Rush quotes, the Rush and Brachas quotes the Ravid. On the side of the Rambam, we don't have any Ravid disagreeing with the Rambam. But the Rush quotes that the Ravid disagreed with the Rambam. He was not right. That even though the Takanas Ezra was repealed by Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra vis-a-vis learning Torah, Allah called the Roi Koesh, but it was never repealed with respect to davening, with respect to reciting a Bracha. So that then is still Bimkoma Omeg, that one is a Balkari or a woman is a Palet Shechmazera, is not permitted to daven. So according, so Sarah's made Shuva before Ashana, before Yom Kippur, so the meaning is to be Machma for the Shitas Arrived, that is, with respect to davening, a Balkari, a Palet Shechmazera has to go to Mikvah. Yeah. I remember now it's a common practice that all of the high school students go to learn in Eretz Yisrael a year or two or three before they move on to college. But years ago, when I was a student, this system had not yet been instituted. Very few people went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. And then the whole thing was instituted, I think, by Rabbi Eliach, by Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig's father-in-law, because he felt that the students in Flatbush Yeshiva really needed it more so than the others. So he introduced, I think, that half of the senior year they should spend in Eretz Yisrael. And then the whole thing developed. He was the one who pushed it. He deserves big credit. He was the one who pushed it that all yeshivas they should all go learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. So when they first started this and the girls went to Eretz Yisrael, so they came across this statement and the Mate Ephraim that on the Erev Yom Kippur, everybody goes to mikveh, even the single girl. So when they came back to America, they wanted to go to mikveh. The mikveh lady said, there is no such thing. You're not going to let, you don't let single girls go to mikveh. They're just going to sin. They'll be mezana if they go to the mikveh. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't allow a single girl to go to mikveh. But the girl said, it says in the Mate Ephraim. So the mikveh lady on the Lower East Side called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. At that time, anyone who had any shaila could call up Rav Moshe and he would give you a psak on the telephone. So Rav Moshe said, we don't have that minik. We don't have that minig anymore that single girls go to mikveh, but we do have the minig that the single, the men do go to mikveh because of Balkari. Okay, so that's what is based on. There was an opinion, the Rosh in the end of Yuma interprets the Shita Rav Sadigon. Rav Sadigon writes that everyone who goes to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur should say a brocha, shekereshona b'mitzvah yisav tzivanu al hatvilo. What is that all about? To go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh understood that it's based on the din chayvodim latayr atzma beregel. So the Shagasari tain is we assume chayvodim latayr atzma beregel only applies number one on sholosh regolim, when the zechiyah b'aliyah l'regel to visit the Azor. Number two, it only applies bisman shabis hamikdash hayakayim, you're going to go visit the Azor. And number three, if by going to mikvah and erev haregel, you will remove all of the tumah, you'll be able to enter the Azor. But we're all tmei mesim anyway, until we're going to get a paraduma. We're all tmei mesim anyway. So what are you going to accomplish by going to the mikvah? You take off the tumas balkeri when you still have the other tumas. And on Yom Kippur, the Rabbeinu Sadyagon says that whenever you want to save on the Erev Yom Kippur, you say a bracha. What do you mean? Yom Kippur, there's no chiyav aliyah l'regel. The Bizman says there's no beis hamikdash. So what? The whole thing doesn't make sense. So apparently the Rosh was of the understanding. Chayvonim taratzma beregel is really unrelated to aliyah l'regel. Even on Yom Kippur and even on Bizman says there's no aliyah l'regel. Means in order to experience properly the kedushas hayom of Yontif, so you have to be mitayer yourself as much as possible. Kedushas hayom of Shabbos is so powerful that it'll leave an effect on you. It'll have a hashpoah, even if the person is in a state of tumah. But kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur or the other yomim tovim is lower. So if a person won't go to mikveh, it won't have as much an effect on the person. So that's what the Rosh understood. Chayvonim and Tarats Beregel applies not only to Sholosh Golem, even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even applies Bizman Hazeh. And others understand as a three-volume set of the Sefer Mitzvos L'Rav Sadia Gaon by Rabbi Yeruchim Perla. He was a businessman in Europe in the early 1900s. So he has, Sadia Gaon wrote a poem, probably to be recited on Shavuos. And in the poem, he includes all the Taryag Mitzvahs. So this Balabas wrote three fat volumes explaining what the Shita Rav Sadia Gaon is, how did he decide which mitzvah belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvahs and which mitzvah not. So he discusses also what mitzvah is he talking about here. So he doesn't think like the Rosh, that is Chayav Adam Atar Atzma Beregel. That's only on Sholosh HaGolim. He thinks that and this one is only on Yom Kippur. The Rav Sadia Gaon didn't say it on Rosh Hashanah, only on Yom Kippur. So he thought Rav Sadia Gaon meant, based on the Pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titoru. Lefnei Hashem Titoru means, as Yom Kippur is about to enter, when Yom Kippur is about to enter, everyone should go to the mikveh. Lefnei Hashem Titoru, you should be mitar yourselves. The Ramban understands Lefnei Hashem Titoru. Ramban at the end of Yuma understood Lefnei Hashem, before Yom Kippur enters, Titoru, everyone should recite Vidui. That's the basis of the Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur, when we daven mincha. So the Chachamim were afraid that we should, if you're going to just tell everyone they should recite Vidui right before the Mekabel Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, so Shema Yera Ezeh Dvar Kalkola Desuda, something may come up during the emergency, may come up in the middle of the Suda Hamavsekis, and the person may come late to Shul. He may have to take on the garbage, and he may have to wash the dishes and whatever, and someone doesn't feel well or something, so he may just make it by the skin of his teeth to shul, and then it'll turn out that he didn't have a chance to say vidui. So that's why the Chachamim introduced, because of that pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, before the Yom Kippur enters, you should purify yourself, not like Rav Sadia Gaon should purify by going to mikveh, but rather purify your soul by reciting vidui. So that's why the Chachamim introduced, you should say vidui in Tfilos, at the end of Tfilos Mincha, before the Suda HaMavsekis. And then the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom that what happens if the person had a Suda HaMavsekis and he comes to Shul not the last minute, he comes 15 minutes early, which he should come. So then the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom, then he should recite Vidya again, because more correct is, the Ramban says at the end of Yuma that the Vidya should be recited immediately before one is about to be Mekabel Kedushas Hayom, Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So the Chachamim were afraid he may not have an opportunity to say Vidya at all. That's why they recommend you should say Vidya by Mincha 2-3 hours before, because you're going to have the Suda Mavsekis after. But if he had the Suda Mavsekis and he comes to Shul and there is time, then what correct is he should repeat the Vidya again. So both the Rav Sadat, so according to the way the Rosh understood and according to the way Rabbi Yeruchim Perla understood, Rav Sadia Gaon said a real din d'oraisa that everyone has to be toivel and a mikvah kshera and erev Yom Kippur, but that's not the common practice. It's nice to be choshesh for that opinion if there's a mikvah kshera available. But mikra din, we really hold that the whole chumrah of going to mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur is not a din d'oraisa. It's all based on it's all that we're choshish for the shitas haravid. That even though Takanas Ezra was repealed by Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera, that's the Gemara and Brachas that the Tosfos quotes on Adaf. No galma, the meaning koilam by the Orthodox Jews is kitlas sovi, like the three earlier Tanoim from the earlier generations, and the father Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera, with respect to Takanas Ezra. Top line. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Maharil that if it's too difficult, if a person is a choyler, or it's in the present coronavirus atmosphere that people are afraid to have 100 people tovel in the same mikveh, they may transmit the disease to other people. So that's why many are recommending that people, instead of going to the mikveh, you should have teisha kabin. A kav is 24 beitzim, the volume of 24 beitzim of water. So you should have someone pour tisha kabin, 9 times 24, the volume of 24 eggs. If you stand under a shower for a couple of minutes, that's going to be tisha kabin. And the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, and Eid HaRedis has many volumes of tshuvas, I think 13 volumes. So I think in Chelak Ches, he has a tshuva that he thinks that a shower is just as good. Say, Rabbi Yashiv was not happy with it, but the minhag olam is lahakal, that we assume that when you take a shower, that's considered, that takes the place of the tisha kabim. So again, so Rashi learns that this Gemara on Zayinam and Beis, that kolam itzuz kulam avarchalayim avalasiyosam chutz min atfilo. That's how the Gemara says. First they said chutz min atfilo v'shefer, then they backed out from the shefer. So Rav Chisda says, no, chutz min atfilo, that's all. Why is chutz min atfilo? Because akate gabre lo chazi. So Rashi says, because in the earlier generations there was a takanas Ezra. True, in the later generations they repealed it, and Tosfos assumes, like the Rambam, that once Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera repealed it with respect to learning Torah, so it was repealed with respect to davening as well. That's how Tosfos writes. You're allowed to daven and say brachas and to learn. Tosfos the Beferis like the Rambam, not like the Rosh Hashanah. The Baal HaTos does a whole like the Rambam, that once Takanas Ezra was repealed with respect to learning Torah, so it was repealed with respect to davening and with respect to reciting brachas as well. So Rashi learns, however, that this memra in the Gemara, kolam mitzvos kulam baruch alayim ma'avel asiyasim, except for tefillah, this was in the earlier generations, Hastis, that they really used to observe Takanas Ezra, Sakate Gabra Lochazi. He's not able to recite the bracha in advance because he's a Balkaria. She's a Paletta Shechvazera. So since they were unable, Alpidin, they were unable, Alpidin, to recite the bracha of Alasi Asam, so whenever you're doing a mitzvah and you're unable to recite the bracha, like the same as Rabbeinu Hananel. But Rabbeinu Hananel said it goes on Tfilas Hager, so the candidate for Geris is an Ochri. So of course he can say Kedushana b'mitzvos v'tzivanu in advance of the Tfilah. So the Rashi learned, no, he's a Yisrael, but since he's a Balkari, he's not allowed to daven. And even though in the later generations Takanas Ezra was repealed, so what do you say, that Akate Gabra Lochazi doesn't apply anymore? So that's what the Rishonim say. No, like the Rambam, there were still people who used to be machmer on themselves, even though the Takana was repealed. But since it, like the Ges Mishnah explained in the Rambam, the Takana made good sense. B'shaitom, so that's why, even though it's Ein Roi Batzi B'chodom Lamed Boi, and it was repealed, but still, whoever can be machmer al atzmo to observe it, the proper thing is that they should observe it. So getting back again, the Ramon Simon Yutes in Yeridea writes, If you have a behemah that's in a fula, fell down a flight of stairs, and that's a real, you can't really say rob behemah k'shevus over here. If you're only shechting this one behemah, you wouldn't say a bracha in advance because it's a real suffix. Maybe it's a trefa. Maybe because maybe it broke a rib. Broke a rib, so the jagged edge maybe poked a hole on the kuvus harei, a nekev in one of the lobes. There are a few lobes in the lungs. So in such a case, the Ramah says you can't say a bracha until after you bodik the reya. After you bodik the reya, see there are no holes in the lungs, so then you can say the bracha. So the question is, did the Ramah, so now the Nisei Kelim and that Shach discuss, did the Ramah paskan like the Zoruah, that b'dieved you can say the bracha l'acharas yosam? Or maybe the Ramah is paskaning really like the Rambam. But whenever it's akati gabra l'chozi, whenever the din says you're not allowed to say bracha in advance, then kach tikno chachamim, just like by the tefila, either the ger or the balkeri, whichever it is, whether you learn like the Rabbeinu Hanani, you learn like Rashi, akati gabra l'chozi, whenever you are unable al pi din to recite the bracha over asiyasam, then we say kach tikno chachamim, you should say the bracha l'achar asiyasam. So maybe that's the case over here. Since the animal is in a fula and it's a real suffix trefa, and there's no longer a rob behemus k'sheva. So here you weren't allowed to say the bracha in advance. So here, kach tikna chachamim. Once you check the animal and you check the lungs and you see there's no nekev in the reya, then you can say the bracha l'acharas yosam. So some, I think there are chashulchan lines like that. So they say the Ramah is not paskin like the Ozeruah. No, the Ramah is paskin like the Rambam. Only in this case, the Ramah paskin, you can say the bracha l'acharas yosam. If there would have been a different mitzvah that you really could have said the bracha before and you just forgot all about it, you didn't say it, you took off your talis and tefillin, you forgot, so then it could be that the Ramah really paskins like the Rambam. So that's a discussion. Then I came looking in the everyday sim and you test. So some understand the Ramah is paskining like the Ozeruah, that the b'dieved you can say the bracha l'acharas yosam. And others say no, only in this case, because it's similar to akati gabra l'chozi. Why is the Rambam's opinion like that? What exactly is the machlokes here between the Rambam and the Ozeruah? Whether a b'dieved, if a person already finished doing the mitzvah, can he say the bracha l'acharas yosam? The Rav Soloveitchik had a beautiful explanation. The Rambam writes an interesting lashon. The Rambam writes, kishem shetiknu chachamim b'chas hanenin, just like they made a takana also l'adam shehanim in olam hazeh b'lei bracha, and you have to say the bracha in advance, so the bracha is really a matir, it's like hegdish. If a person eats nenem et alam hazeh b'lei bracha, so the Gemara in Brachas on the first daf in Perik Ketzim Avochim daf Lamenei has a lashon that is mo'al, as if he's in violation of Ne'ila, because the pasuk says Lashem Horetzim Loya Tevel Yashviva, the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's in a certain sense it's hegdish. So if a person will be nenem in a hegdish without being poida in advance, then he's in violation of Me'ila. So the Yerushalmi has a lashon in the beginning of Perik Ketzim Avochim, b'chosa zuhi pidyoina, when you recite the bracha before you eat the food, that's like being poida the hegdish, and that's the matir that allows you to eat the food. So the Shach quotes a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Nun Aleph. The Shach there in Sim Yutes in the Hilchos Shechita quotes a Gemara in Brachas, but the Gemara has a shaila. If a person ate and he finished and he forgot to say a bracha in advance and he's in the middle of eating, should he say a bracha? So the Gemara says, of course he should say a bracha, because he violated the din. He ate the first half of the meal without a bracha. He should continue to violate the din. No. Let him say a bracha now and continue to eat the food. What if he ate up all the food that he has to eat and there's nothing left to eat anymore? So then he is beferish. Then you cannot say the bracha because the bracha is for the purpose of being matir. The brachas hanenin is a matir to take off the iser. Also, lahanis madal mazeh b'lay bracha areza kilu moal. So there's no heta lamafreya. If you already ate all the food the iser, you can't be matarit lamafreya. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So the Rambam writes a striking lashon: kishem shetiknu brachas hanenin kach tiknu chachamim brachas hamitzvah. Just like so too. What do you mean? Just like? not related to each other. So Rav Soloveitchik was medayek. Rav Yosef Engel has this also in one of his Svarim. The same Loshan HaRambam, the same Diuk. And the Rambam is mashma that midrabanan, it's prohibited, it's an isa to do a mitzvah without saying a bracha in advance. Just like, let's say, a person will want to speak to the president of the United States or go to the White House and knock on the door. They say, you can't just walk in like this. You need permission in advance. You have to make hachanas in advance. So there's such a pasuk in Tehillim. V'la Rasha Omer Lakim, Maluch HaLasapa Chukai. The Rebbeinu Shlom says to the Rasha, who gave you permission to learn my Torah? You need permission to learn the Torah. You need permission to do a mitzvah. So the permission is granted if you do a mitzvah. That's famous when the Taz in Hilchas Slichas. Taz says Slichas usually say, he's supposed to say in the middle of the night, before Alos HaShachar. In the yeshivas, if you're going to say Slichas before Alos HaShachar, it's going to kill the whole day. No one's going to be able to learn. So in the yeshivas in America, they did away with the correct Zman of the Slichas. So they say the Slichas at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. It's already after sunrise, even if you say it before sunrise. But if it's after Alos HaShachar, that's not really the meaning of Slichas. The meaning of Slichas is you're supposed to say the Slichas, but Od Laila. In the middle of the night, before Alos HaShachar, not before Hanetz HaChama. But, so the Gemara says, Vayabasham alponim ayikram alamish in esata v'kadosh bochum kishliach tzibur. The Rabbanu Shel Olam, in the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu saw, he had a marah hanavua, as if the Rabbanu Shel Olam was a human being, as if he put on a talus. He was Nisatet in a talis, and he recited Yud Gimel Midas, and the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, because man shabana choytem yasa lefon kiseidu hazeh, bani mochalahem. Whenever Bnei Yisrael sin and they want to do tshuva, let them have a talis and say, let the chazm put on a talis and say the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Hashem kal rach machanan, and they'll do tshuva, and Hashem will forgive them. So the shaila is, when you wear a talis balayla, there's a big machlokes, but you say a bracha. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk Reisim also pratlik sus laila. So what does that mean? So the Rambam understands that it's a mitzvah that only applies by yom and not balayla. There are such mitzvahs, lulav, shofar, halal is only by yom. There's certain mitzvahs are only by yom, and certain mitzvahs are only balayla. A Mishnah in Megillah, Dovish Mitzvahs of a Yom, Kosher Kol Yom, Dovish Mitzvahs of a Laila, Kosher Kol Laila. So the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah tzitzis only applies by Yom, doesn't apply by Laila. The Bali Atesis and the Rosh understood differently, that a Ksus Laila, or Rishma Sapat, the Ksus Laila pajamas are not chayiv in tzitzis. But if you have a talus is not pajamas, it's not biyuchad le Laila. A talis is a ksus that you wear by Yom or by Laila. So according to Taisus, you would say a bracha when you would put on a talis by Laila. So it's the bottom line, it's a machlekes, but you say a bracha when you put on a talis by Laila. According to the Rambam, you don't say a bracha, there's no mitzvah tzitzis by Laila. According to Taisus, there's no mitzvah tzitzis on pajamas, on ksus Laila. But it's not a ptur from Laila. So therefore, whenever you put on a talis by Laila, you shouldn't say a bracha. So this poses a problem. You're doing a mitzvah, which according to the Tosfos, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's not pajamas, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, and you're not saying a bracha. So that's an isa. So the Taz says, you're not allowed to, whenever you can avoid it, you shouldn't really, let's say a person took a shower, and he took a nap at night, and he wants to get dressed. And he took off the Arba Kamfis, he took off his tzitzis for an hour. That's a hesor hadas. If a person takes off tzitzis to take a shower for 10 minutes or for 15 minutes, something like that, so that's not a hesor hadas. If he would take off the talis bayom for 10, 15 minutes and put it back on, he wouldn't have to say another bracha. That's not a hesor hadas. But let's say all the people in the minyan on Shabbos morning, there are 7 aliyahs and then maftir, and all of them are single, nobody has a talis. So they all borrowed my talis. I took off the talis for 25, 30 minutes, I wasn't wearing my talis. And then when I finally get it back, I should say a new bracha, because that's when you wait 25, 30 minutes, that's already called a hesach hadas. So whenever that amount of time that you waited, 25 minutes or so, that's a hesach hadas by yom, you would have to say another bracha. So then if it's balayla, the Taz would recommend you shouldn't put on the Arba Kamfis at all. because you may be fulfilling a mitzvah without a bracha, and that's an isa. It's not an isa deraisa, but it's an isa derabanan. Kishem shetiknu bracha alanen, and just like they made a takana that it's also the honest medala mazai b'lai bracha, so too the Rambam says it made a takana that it's prohibited. That's the mashmaz of the Rambam. It's awesome derabanan to do a mitzvah without having the matir of reciting the bracha in advance. So that's why the Rambam, the Shitosai, holds that the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah is like, it's a matir, it's in that sense like Birchas HaNenen. So that's why the Gemara said, if you already ate all the food that you have and you forgot to say a bracha in advance, fafal, so you can't say the bracha after you finish eating, mimata lemafreya, all of the food that you ate b'yisa. The bracha is only mata mikana lahabot. So if you finished all you have to eat, you don't have any more to eat, so you can't say the bracha. So the same, the Rambam, the Shitasai writes that if the person finished the mitzvah, he took off the talis and tefillin. He did a mitzvah and he finished. Masha nasa kvar nasa. He can't say the bracha lachar asiyosam even b'dieved. Why? Because the role of the brichas hamitzvah is similar to the role of the brichas hanenen, to be materas, to fulfill the mitzvah. With the rabbanon, there's an issa to do a mitzvah without a matir. And the Arizaru apparently understood differently. Many of the Rishonim say that the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah is not that midirabbanan, it's also to do a mitzvah without permission, without the reshus of saying the bracha in advance. But rather, there is a machlokes with the mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. And even if you hold that you yotze b'dieved without kavanah, mitzvah saying tzrichas kavanah, enter shaylan shulchan aruch had a paskin. I think it's in Simon Samach and Arachayim when they talk about fulfilling Kriya Shema. So there are different opinions, whether we paskin mitzvah tzvichas kavanah, mitzvah ein tzvichas kavanah. And then the compromise psak is the Magen Avraham quotes of the Ravaz, and it's a Ramban and Mohammed like that, that there's a compromise, that mitzvah deraisa, tzvichas kavanah, and mitzvah zarabanah, and ein tzvichas kavanah. Yeah, where did that compromise come from? So the Ramban learns, and the Ramban and the Mohammed learns that that's what the Gemara says, that when you recite Kriya Shema, how much of Kriya Shema, we assume Kriya Shema is there, right? How much of Kriya Shema is a mitzvah and a Torah to recite? So the Ramban holds Pasuk Rishon. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Pasuk Rishon is there, right? And the rest is only made the Rabbanan. How does he get this? Because the Gemara says when you say Pasuk Rishon, you have to have Kavanah for Pirush HaMilas. But when you say, B'haftas Hashem Elokecha, the first parish and the second parish of Vahayim Shamaya, for that, the Kavanah is not Miyakes. Lechatchila, everyone agrees it's more correct, Mitzvah Sichas Kavanah. But we're talking B'dieved, whether the Kavanah is Miyakes. So the Ramban understood that the reason why, Pasuk Rishon, you need Kavanah till the end of Shem Echad, is because Pasuk Rishon is the Raisa and Mitzvah Sichas Kavanah. So just like you need kavanah latzeis, you have to have in mind to be out in the mitzvah, so too you need kavanah spirish amilas. But test pasuk rishon is only the rabbanon, so there, since the din is mitzvah zain tzvichas kavanah, you don't need kavanah latzeis, so therefore you don't need kavanah spirish amilas either. That's yadua from Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim has an essay on the Rambam. He talks about, seems to be a stir in the Rambam about kavanah by davening. Rab Chaim says there are two different kavanahs. There are three different kavanas. Rab Chaim talks about two of them. One is when you daven, you have kavanas oimed lefnei ha-melech. You know that you're standing in front of the Rabban Shalom and you're talking to him. Then number two, you have kavanas pirish amilas. So Rab Chaim says these are two different, two unrelated kavanas. Rab Chaim thinks if a person says Shemoneh Esrei, he's lacking kavanas oimed lefnei ha-melech, he doesn't even have in mind that he's talking to Rabban Shalom, then that's misasek, and you're not yetzer at all. But if you have kavanas oimed lefnei ha-melech, but you just didn't have kavanas pirush amilas, so then the Rambam says, kavanas pirush amilas is only miyakev in the first bracha, in the bracha of Magen Avraham. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Ramban says that the two atolis are bezeh. The pasuk rishon is deraisa, so therefore mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, because they're really two different sugyas. There's a sugya in the end of Psochim, where the mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, then there's a sugya in Megillah, about and sugya in brachas about mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. So Tosfos points out that the two sugyas are talking about different mitzvahs. Sugya in the end of Psochim is talking about mitzvahs derabanan, where the mitzvahs are abana tzvichas kavana, and the sugya in brachas is talking about mitzvahs deraisa need kavana, and there's room to distinguish between the two. So the Rabban says we do distinguish halacha l'maisa. Then a mitzvah deraisa we pass mitzvahs tzvichas kavana. Therefore, we need kavanas pirush amilus also. And a mitzvah derabbanan, we would pass a mitzvah zain tzvichas kavana, so therefore you don't need kavanas pirush amilus. So then the Ramban writes, and one can argue the point and say, but they're unrelated kavanas. One is kavana lotzeis, kavana, you have a mind to be out of the obligation and mitzvah, and the other one is a kavanas pirush amilus. How are they totally zebizeb? So the Ramban says, and don't tell me that the two unrelated kavanas. No, they're totally zebizeb. If it's a mitzvah deraisa, you need kavana lotzeis, then you also need kavanas pirush amilus. If it's a mitzvah derabbanan, and the psak halacha is mitzvah ein tzvichas kavana, so then memel, if you don't need kavana lotzeis, then you don't need kavanas pirush amilus either. That's what the Ramban taines. Even though Rav Chaim's argument is very strong, the two unrelated kavanas, but somehow the Ramban, we don't understand the Ramban, why he thinks that they are totally zebizem. But the Ramban says like that they told you Zebizem. So the Magen Avraham there in Simon Samach, wherever it is there, by when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the two opinions, Yom Mitzvah, Tzichas Kavana, Yisam Mitzvah, Zain Tzichas Kavana, Machlekes HaRishonim Rishonim had a Paskin. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz and the Tshuva who Paskins this compromise. That's the Ramban's compromise. The Mitzvah Zeraisa Tzichas Kavana, and Mitzvah Zerabanan is Ain Tzichas Kavana. That's the Ramban's psak, based on the fact that the Gemara says that you only need kavanas pirush amilus and the pasuk rishon Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. You don't need on the rest. So the Gemara has a what's a din if a person has a suffik bracha, a person is misupik. What's an example of a suffik bracha? Let's say a person ate a whole meal. He ate a delicious meal. And then he's full. And there's a chiyah brichas hamazon deraisa. And he's a little drunk. And he doesn't remember whether he said brichas hamazon or not. So if he ate kidei sviya and the obligation to bench is deraisa, then we say suffik deraisa l'chumra. Same thing by kiddush. Kiddush on Friday night is a din deraisa. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes La Halacha from the Shagasari that Bichas HaTorah every day, once a day, every day is also Deraisa. So if a person is Mesupik, whether he doesn't remember whether he did say or he didn't say Bichas HaTorah, so the Shagasari says, Safik Deraisa L'chumar. He would be obligated to recite the Bracha again. But all other Brachas aside from Bichas HaTorah, which the Shagasari quotes the Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvah, Bichas HaTorah is Deraisa, and Kiddush is deraisa, and Bichas HaMazon is deraisa, if you ate Kedei Sviya. All other brachas are the Rabbanan, so there we would apply the rule of Safik brachas lahakel. So the Rambam's opinion is that if a woman wants to volunteer to shake a lulav, that's a beautiful thing, but she cannot say a bracha. Ashkenazim follow the Rabbeinu Tam that a woman is who wants to volunteer to shake a lulav can even say a bracha, shake a shana b'mitzvah sov, mitzivano anadilas lulav. But many Svardim followed the Rambam's opinion that an Isha cannot say Kiddushana b'mitzvah of Tzivan because she's not Mechuyev in a Tilos Lulav. So what if you have a person who's a Tumtum on our Dragoness? He really doesn't know whether he's a Zohar or an Akeva. So we would say Sofik Deraisa L'chumer, he's obligated to shake a Lulav. Maybe he's a man. But when he shakes the Lulav, should he say the Brochan outside? So the Rambam says, no, they're two different Sfekas. There's one Safik Isha, he's Mechuyev to do the mitzvah not, so he says, a Safik Isha, Safik Isha. So Safik Deraisa L'chumra, he's Mechuyev to shake a lulav and to sit in Sukkah and to observe all the mitzvahs that only men are Mechuyev in. But then there's another Safik, can't say unrelated, there's another Safik whether he should say a bracha or not. It's not one and the same thing. It's not that midirabbanan, you have to do the mitzvah, you have to perform the mitzvah with reciting a bracha in advance. See, according to all the other Rishonim, that the idea that there is a real hold, you can say the bracha b'dieved lachar asiyasam. So they seem to hold that the whole idea of a bichas mitzvah is to enhance the mitzvah, to make sure that even if you hold mitzvahs ain't sviches kavana, but l'chatchila, everyone agrees that mitzvahs sviches kavana. Mishneh Berurah quotes that to l'chatchila deraisa, liyovda b'chol rabchem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do the mitzvahs with kavana. So even if you hold mikra din mitzvahs ain't sviches kavana, but l'chatchila certainly should have kavana. So that's why the Chachamim introduced kol ha-mitzvahs kulam avarach alayim oivel asiyosam, in advance you should recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, and this should enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah that will be with Kavana Lotzeis. And even if B'dieva, the person, didn't say the bracha before, he can say the bracha after. All right, so he's having the Kavana Lotzeis at the time, right after he finished shaking the lulav. And it's one kiyum, you do it on the level of the Raisa, you have to shake a lulav. On the level of the Rabbanim, you should shake a lulav together with the bracha. So if a person, let's say, a person has a suffix, Bein HaShmashas of Shabbos, we discussed the other day, Bein HaShmashas of Shabbos is a suffix deraisa, is it Shabbos or is it Erev Shabbos? Let's say Friday evening, Bein HaShmashas. So it's a suffix Shabbos, suffix chol. So not only do you say suffix deraisa l'chumer with respect to dinim deraisa, even with respect to the dinim derabbanan, you also, a suffix deraisa, you have to go l'chumer, even with respect to those aspects of the suffix that are only mid-derabbanan, namely to during Bein HaShmashas, are you allowed to violate the Rabbanan? So the din is not suffix deraisa l'chumer, even with respect to the aspects of the derabbanan. So the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says if a woman wants to volunteer to shake a lulav, tavale abracha, but she can't say abracha. She can't recite the bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvot tzivanu. And if the person is a sofik zocha, sofik nekeva, then he's obligated to do the netilas lulam sofik, and he's not allowed to say a bracha. That's how the Rambam paskens. So the Ravid says, no, that's against the Gemara. It's a sofik deraisa, whether he's mechuyav and lulav or not, because sofik is sofik isha. Or let's say he's mesupik, whether he was yotze or not. So that's a sofik deraisa. On the first day of Sukkot, so Safik Deraisa. So Safik Deraisa Luchumra, not only with respect to those aspects out of Deraisa, with respect to the aspects out of Derabbanan. Just like Bein HaShmashas of Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Derabbanans either. We said this is special kula, called Dalvin Shemshun Shus, like Gozrola Bein HaShmashas. That's what Rabbi Kiveger and the Chuvas points out. That's a special kula. B'makam Mitzvah, B'makam Hefsim Meruba, B'makam Tzaragodl. But aside from that, the din should have been that Bein HaShmashas, you're not allowed to do the Rabbanans either. So if the person has a suffix, whether he's mechuyav to do a mitzvah or not, so the Ravid says, mechuyav, he goes suffix deraisa l'chumra, even with respect to those aspects of the mitzvah that are only the Rabbanan, namely, he has to say a bracha. The Birchas HaMitzvah is only the Rabbanan. But the Rambam, the Shitasa, holds that the bracha is not to enhance the mitzvah. The only time the bracha is to serve as a matir. So that's a separate suffix. There's a suffix on the mitzvah, and suffix deraisa l'chumra. Then there's a suffix on the bracha. Does he need a matir or not? Take for example, the Rambam writes that kriya shma is deraisa. Suffix kara kriya shma, suffix loy kara kriya shma. Chayze v'kari im bir chayzeha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos kriya shma, he has to repeat the kriya shma with the bracha. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Chuvas HaRashba, who is bothered with Akasha. There's a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam himself says that if a person is mesupik, sofik zocha, sofik nekeva, when he has to shake a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, I say sofik deraisa l'chumra, he has to shake a lulav, but he says he doesn't say the bracha, because the bracha says sofik bracha slahakam. So why over here the Rambam says Safik Kara Kriyashma, Safik Lak Kara, Chayzavikari, because Kriyashma is deraisa, in Birchasel, but the brachas is only the Rabbanan. So why don't you send the brachas, Safik Brachas Lahakel? Should start off Safik the Rabbanan Lakula, Safik Brachas Lahakel. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Chulas HaRashba. The Rambam understood that Birchas Kriyashma is different. Whenever you say Kriyashma, you got to say the brachas. Rav Soloveitchik obviously is to say over this Kesef Mishnah, Mishem, the Chuvas HaRashba, what it means is that by Kriya Shema, Midrabanan, they made a takana, it's Kriya Shema in Birchay Seha, is one kiyum. By other mitzvahs, it's not that the Birchas HaTfilin enhances the mitzvah of Tfilin. No, the Birchas HaTfilin is a matir. It's a matir. It allows you to perform the mitzvah of tefillin. And if you did the tefillin, you took off the tefillin, you didn't say the bracha yet. Masha nasa kvar nasa. Fafan, you can't say the bracha lachar asiyosam, because the bracha is in order to be matir you to do the mitzvah. But by bichas kriya shma, the Rashban and other tshuva points out not the same. The Rashban and other tshuva points out there are three bichas kriya shma. The first one, Yotzer Ror Baruch Hashem, spells out the theme of the first parsha of Shema. Hashem Echad. There were Evdi Avodah Zarah who believed that there's a God of light and a God of darkness and a God of good and God of evil. So we say there's one God who's in control of everything. So the theme of the first parsha in Kriya Shema is spelled out in the first bracha. Theme of the second parsha is Kabbalah's all mitzvahs and Kabbalah's limud haTorah. So that's the theme of Abba Rabba Abba Salam. Torah mitzvahs chukim mishpatim asanali maraton. Then the theme of the third parasha is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's the theme of Emes V'Yatzav, Emes V'Emunah. So the three brachas, Hashkiveinu is a separate bracha. It's not really part of the brachas Kriya Shema. So the three basic brachas by Ma'ariv correspond to the three brachas by Shacharis. And the three brachas Kriya Shema spell out the themes of the three parashas of Shema. So that's why by Kriya Shema, if a person, it's one kiyum in the Rabbanan. Kriya Shema im b'chosa, Kriya Shema al seda habrocha. So if a person is safek kara, Kriya Shema safek loy kara, then the Rambam writes chos v'kari im b'chosa, because it's a safek deraisa l'chumre, even on those aspects that are wrong in the Rabbanan, like pein hashmoshes of Shabbos, you're not allowed to violate the Rabbanan zida. But if it would be any other bichas hamitzvah, if you're mesupik, if you have to shake a lulav or not, then the Rambam holds that you shake the lulav misafik deraisa lechumer, but you don't say a bracha. Why? Because the bracha, even mid the rabbanon, is not to enhance the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is bishle, the lulav, whatever. The mitzvah of lulav is complete without it. It's not because lachatchili need kavana and the bracha recited in advance will be ma'ori kavana. So that you will be enhancing the kiyum mitzvah of lulav. No, it's to serve as a matter. So it's a separate sofik, am I mechuyev to shake a lulav? And separate sofik, am I mechuyev, do I need a matir? Do I have to say a bracha in advance? So that because they're two different sveikas, because the bracha is not one kiyum, even with the rabban is not one kiyum, together with the shaking of the lulav. So there the Rambam splits between the two. He should do the mitzvah, misofik, without a bracha. Maybe we'll have to discuss a little more. There is a din in the Gemara that a ger katam ad bilamoso adas bezin. If a Jewish couple doesn't have any children, they want to adopt a non-Jewish baby, they want to be megayer. So the Gemara says there is such a thing. Ger katam ad bilamoso adas bezin. So the question is, when the Beznin is matbil, the baby in the mikveh, did they say a bracha? Usually the ger himself says the bracha, tovel v'olah, when the ger is tovel in the mikveh. That's how Rabbeinu Hanan learns the Gemara Bali Yosef. When he comes out of the mikveh, he says the bracha. Asher kedushonim b'mitzvah. Here the baby is an infant, he doesn't know how to say a bracha. So there's a discussion, should the Beznin recite the bracha or not? So the Ravid wrote a Sefer Bali HaNefesh. So in the Bali HaNefesh, he says, yes, the Bezin should say the bracha. And since the Bezin is Jewish already, you can't say Akati Gavra Lochazi, not Jewish yet. So the Bezin in this case should ought to recite the bracha in advance. Oivel HaSiyasin, before the Tovel, the baby in the mikveh. Usually the Ger himself says the bracha ala tefillah. So he's Akati Gavra Lochazi. He's not, the Kedusha Yisrael is not Chal until after he comes out of the mikveh. But here, with the Bezin saying the bracha, they should say in advance. There was a great Hasidic Rebbe who was known as the Bnei Yisoskar. So he wrote a sefer on Sefer Mitzvahs that's called Derech Pikudecha. It's not at all as strong as the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch runs through all of Shas and every mitzvah. But he, the Derech Pikudecha, the Bnei Yisoskar divides each mitzvah into three parts: Machshava, Dibur, Maaseh. And he gives you a thumbnail description, some of the highlights of the mitzvah, And then he has a few chidushim, a little bit chidushim la'alocha, and then he goes into Tamei HaMitzvah, usually with Chassidus and Kabbalah. So he discusses under the first mitzvah is Pirei Rivya, and the Chumash, and the second mitzvah is Milah. Third mitzvah is Giran Hashem. So under the mitzvah of Milah, he discusses Milah Sager. So he thinks that by a ger katam at bila mosah does best, no bracha should be recited at all on the tefillah, because the Gemara says yigdilu yichalim limchais. When the child grows older, when he reaches the age of 13, he may decide that he doesn't want the whole taiva. They did him a favor by being megayer him, so he may reject, he may give up the whole kedushas yisrael. So safik brachas lahakel. So what's the machlokes over here that the derech pikudecha holds that safik brachas lahakel? And the Ravid says you should say the bracha, and the Bezin should say the bracha, over Lasios. So maybe I'll have to continue to explain a little better tomorrow. We'll continue. Tomorrow is probably going to be a normal day. So let's say a normal day on Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, this year is at 12:45. Okay. Everyone should have a gmach simetayva, and we will meet again tomorrow. Thank you.